Ladies and gentlemen, it's one of those weird times of the year. Summer doesn't go by the rules, apparently. You know, it's a season that pays no attention to the calendar of the planets. That is to say, doesn't start at the equinox, at the solstice, and end at the equinox, as it should. It starts on Memorial Day and it ends on Labor Day. That's what we know here in the United States. We start summer by honoring dead soldiers, and we end summer by honoring live workers. And, you know, it's the American way. So summer is over. And what's great about that is that in the home of the homeless, summer has just begun. So there's a wonderful, what do they call it these days, a disconnect, which just emphasizes how far out of the mainstream Santa Monica really is. But we like it that way, don't we? Hello, Hans? It's certainly the homeless like it that way. And ladies and gentlemen, that is by way of just wasting a couple of minutes of time before I bring you the news that this particular broadcast is a summation of some of the things that have been going on this year so far. We're going to ignore the Gary Condit thing. We're going to ignore, please God, the argument over the tax cut and the disappearing budget surplus. Whew, man. And concentrate on some of the other things that have been going on this year, because this is a best of, don't you know? Because I'm right here, and yet I'm far, far away. So sit back or stand up, relax, or get tense and enjoy this best of edition of Hello, Welcome to the Show.
dizzy. You're looking swell, my baby. Diamond bracelets won't worth doesn't sell, my baby. Until that lucky day, you know darn well, my baby, I can't give you anything but
love. Everyone's a good person inside. Everyone wants just to be loved inside. So whenever I think how you wasted my time, I try to remember the good things inside. Well, you haven't killed anyone as far as we know, and you seem very nice to your sister. You have your hands are as big as Montana, and your lips as sweet as red vines. Well, I guess these don't count as the things from inside, but these are the things that made me blind. These are the things that made me blind. You're as sharp as a tack, you're as loyal as a cat, you were great in the sack, even if you have hair on your back.
CPR, Continental Public Radio, I'm Aviva Schlurman, with a new program devoted to everybody who eats. Welcome to the Edible Table. Growing food, cooking food, or eating food, it's all here on CPR's weekly magazine of gustation, The Edible Table. Come in, sit down, let's eat. Joining me for our debut edition of the program is an old friend from student days at CCNY. He's been a food writer for most of the major in-flight magazines, and his first book You gotta know when to fold them, chronicled the rise and fall of the Kenny Rogers chicken franchise. Now he's got a new book chock full of fascinating recipes and observations about food on the wing. Author of The Odd Bird. Welcome, Merrill Pitkin.
Thanks, Aviva. This is the only show I've done during my book tour that serves croissants in the studio.
It drives the engineers crazy. Merrill, tell us about The Odd Bird. Is that you?
You know me too well, Aviva, but no, it's not. It's about the interesting fact that out of all the birds a culture could rely on for food, our diet basically boils down to chicken and a little duck on the side. Not that I'm advocating boiled chicken.
And turkey on Turkey Day, of course.
Sure, but try and serve turkey this time of year and you'll get a look like you've put pig snouts on the plate.
I've never gotten that look, but I know what you mean. But aside from a Christmas goose or a splurge and a partridge or a quail in a fine dining establishment, if you're not very hungry and want to do a lot of finger work, what other birds could we be eating?
Well, of course, you don't have to go any farther than Mother Goose herself to find blackbird pie.
Now, but are those real blackbirds, or like so much of the goose oeuvre, aren't they symbols of the British monarchy?
I don't know that. I haven't written the history of nursery rhymes yet.
But you will.
But, of course, our French and Italian friends are such devoted consumers of pigeon that when they travel to London's Trafalgar Square, they just start drooling.
Or St. Mark's in Venice.
Yeah.
But aren't pigeons widely regarded in this country as cockroaches with wings?
I prefer to think of them as the lobsters of the air. But yes, Aviva, what they eat on the continent are not street pigeons, but birds whose diet is controlled. And that's the key for a lot of the birds that are featured in my book. And now that fish are disappearing from the oceans, I think it's time to spotlight a really good source of alternative protein that's right under our noses.
Well, at the same time being right over our heads.
Well, not directly over, I hope.
So what are these odd birds you commend as toothsome?
Well, I kick off the book with a recipe for stuffed puffin, which comes from an Icelandic chef, and I think is simply superb.
The puffin is a smallish shore bird, in many ways the penguin of the north, isn't it?
Well, farm puffins are bigger than the wild ones. Talk about being stuffed, they're almost as overfed as geese in the pate factory. And with the chestnut stuffing in this recipe, it is simply a superb bird. Very juicy and flavorful, with what the food technologists call a fine mouthfeel.
And you're saying that I could go to Mr. Abramowitz, my wonderful butcher, and get a fresh puffin to cook anytime soon?
Well, I think right now availability is limited to specialty companies, restaurant suppliers, stores that feature Nordic foods, that sort of thing. But Aviva, another bird featured in the book is in a lot of the country, if anything, too available. It's the seagull.
Merrill, I always thought you had a little Chekhov in you, but I never knew it would come out like this. I know seagulls can be quite sizable. What do they taste like?
Well, Aviva, commercial-grade seagulls run anywhere from 3 to 6 pounds, and when fed on a 60% fish meal diet, they come out firm and meaty and very low fat. As far as taste itself is concerned, whether you're talking about roast gull with figs or the gull confit on page 68. Honestly, at the risk of being cliche, it tastes a lot like chicken.
Well, if we're running out of fish, Merrill, where are they getting the fish meal from?
Well, right now the few gull farms running have switched to soybean feed, but they say the gulls think it's fish meal. So,
all right, quickly now, what other birds do you cover in the book?
There are 27 different species for which we have recipes, Aviva. Everything from starling croquettes to mockingbird soup.
Well, personally, I would have trouble eating mockingbirds.
Well, there's actually very little mockingbird in the soup. And perhaps my favorite recipe in the book, Aviva, is the pan-roasted crow with root vegetables.
Eating crow, indeed. Merrill, are we talking about foods that will seriously find their way into the American menu, or is this simply a wonderful addition to the novelty cookbook shelf alongside last year's delectable chocolate for breakfast?
Well, Aviva, you never know what will click and what won't. If you could have predicted that kiwi fruit would catch on, but Nutri-Meat wouldn't, you know, I would have said you could go work on Wall Street, but these days that's that's not much of a compliment.
No, but your book, The Odd Bird, is a compliment to actual eating itself.
Thanks.
And we're delighted you made this not the first stop on your book tour.
No, about the 47th, oh. But my pleasure.
And so it's time to put away the good dishes and clean off the edible table. We have support from the Corporation for Potluck Broadcasting and from the Philip Morris Foundation, reminding you that some of our food is good for you. I'm Aviva Schlorman, hoping you'll consider this your invitation to join me the very next time we pull up our chairs to the edible table. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
Waste your time being angry when a moment's better with a smile. If you feel your time's been wasted here for a while, standing at the bus stop just across from crowds, waiting for that driver to take me to my heavenly house. I'll see you there
at the foot of Canal Street.
What will they wear
at the foot of Canal Street?
Will the band be playing
at the foot of Canal Street?
What will the people be saying
at the foot of Canal Street?
Does your father lie there? Does your mother pray? I'm gonna put on my golden crown at the foot of Canal Street. Riverbanks are overflowing and the streetcar has seen its day. When all is gone, the plantations trim a bucare. I'll be swinging to that music on higher ground where pops is blowing walk on, but with Gabriel making sacred sounds. I'll see you there
at the foot of Canal Street.
What will you wear
at the foot of Canal Street?
Will the band be playing
at the foot of Canal Street?
What will the people be saying
at the foot of Canal Street?
Does your father lie there? Does your mother pray? I'm gonna put on my golden crown at the foot of Canal Street.
Street.
Now see you there
at the foot of Canal Street.
What
will they wear?
At the foot of Canal Street.
Will the band be playing?
At the foot of Canal Street.
What will the people be saying?
At the foot of Canal Street.
Does your father lie there? Does your mother pray? At the foot of Canal Street.
This is Le Show, ladies and gentlemen, reviewing some of what's gone on this year so far, up to now, of course. Just east of Canal Street in New Orleans is, of course, Mississippi. And Mississippi is one of the couple of states this year that has had a debate about the inclusion or the continued inclusion of the Confederate battle flag, either in the state flag or adjacent to the state flag in a position of honor. And it always, you know, I had, in a spirit of public service, since it seemed to me that the point here was that the Confederate battle flag was, in fact, the flag of the losing side, I offered, as I say, in the spirit of public service, a new state anthem for Mississippi that not only acknowledged that fact, but embraced it.
Mississippi, state of cotton and loam, losers gotta have a place to call home. Secession, why, it's a source of our pride, 'cause our kinfolk were on the losing side. Yeah, our kinfolk were on the losing side. Oh, the stars and bars will never be forgot. On our state flag, the X marks the spot. It took bravery to fight for slavery. That's how we're inclined, 'cause we're just the losing kind. We're just the losing kind. Oh, Jackson, it's Anglo-Saxon no more. Biloxi, it takes moxie just to go to the store. Throughout the state, there is this deep divide, because our kinfolk were on the losing side. Yeah, our kinfolk were on the losing side. Oh, the stars and bars will never be forgot. We're Johnny Reb and not some Hottentot. It took bravery to fight for slavery. You can't be colorblind when you're just the losing kind. This ain't what we designed, but we're just the losing kind. Everybody, oh, we love our flag. It says just who we are. We got no fancy house, we got no fancy car. It takes bravery to forget about slavery. We don't watch, we rewind. here's what we signed, 'cause we're just the losing kind.
This bitter earth, what fruit it bears, what good is love? Hey, that no one shares. If my life is like the dust that hides
This is Le Show, and ladies and gentlemen, the polygamist in Utah had a bunch of wives, hence the polygamy, was found guilty about a week or so ago, and has been received a fairly hefty prison sentence as punishment, as well as, of course, a very promising development deal at Fox.
Love and marriage, love and marriage.
Marriage with children was never like this.
Hey, sweetheart, what's for dinner?
Meatloaf.
Pizza.
Would you believe frozen waffle?
Yakov Brown is a regular guy with a regular job and a beautiful wife.
Mr. Brown, welcome to the PTA.
Thank you. What an association.
Yes, and this must be...
I'm Brittany.
And a beautiful wife.
I'm Whitney.
And a beautiful wife.
I'm Brandishwa. How you doing, girl?
Three may be company, but four is definitely a crowd. From the creators of the Don Imus Late Night Pilot comes a show that takes family comedy where it's never been before.
Well, good night, honey.
Good night, dear.
Good night, darling.
Yo, sugar, where's the remote?
Yakov Smirnoff is Yakov Brown. Tori Spelling makes her comedy debut as wife number one. Supermodel Shalale Ban is wife number two. And Brandy is Brandishwa.
Do you have the batteries?
I thought you did.
Hey, girlfriends, shh, don't wake him up.
And if you do, please let me watch. What a marriage.
Honey, 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 I'm home. Polygamy gets an attitude, because this fall, everything's Fox. Too much passion is not enough.
Thank you. Giving me the time to learn, I wanna thank you for letting me burn all those bridges. Let me thank you for knowing that it wouldn't be my day. Cause you may lose your mind and you may lose your way, but this is the pursuit of happiness. Mother, mercy, hear your daughter. I'm a baby in the bulrush. I'm a ship out of water. Don't you know that I've gone denying? I'm crying for some laughter, so smother me. Thank you for knowing that the pain would do me good. Thank you for knowing that I would be understood someday. Cause you might lose your mind and you might lose your way. This is the pursuit of happiness. Cause love is what we're all after.
From CPR, Continental Public Radio, this is Book Bag. Book Bag, chit and chat about the fascinating world between the table of contents and the index. I'm Ira Zetkin in Washington. Nothing delights the publishing business more than a book that has progeny, a volume that has the popularity or resonance to inspire a sequel or sequels. It's like a publisher winning the Publisher's Clearinghouse. Think of the Chicken Soup series, the Four Dummies series, and the impending book mega-merger, the Chicken Soup for Dummies series. Our guest today may well be on the way to what we might call his own successful tribe. Tom Brokaw is best known as the respected, if perpetually boyish, anchor of the NBC Nightly News, but he's recently been spending as much time on the bestseller list as at the anchor desk. Starting with his book of memoirs by the folks who lived through World War II, The Greatest Generation, he's had two successive books on the subject of the World War II-era population cohort rocket up the lists. And now he's back for more. Tom Brokaw, welcome to the Book Bag.
Well, thank you, Ira. I don't know whether I can live up to the perpetually boyish description.
Or live down to it.
There you go.
Tom, you're fascinated by what you call the greatest generation, which a lot of people in our audience may just think of as our parents.
Well, exactly. And I think that's a lovely irony of this phenomenon. I'm a part of a generation that scorned our parents theatrically and passionately.
Yes.
Now I'm selling their parents back to them. In a way, I'm the vessel for a massive acknowledgement of a long overdue debt.
What of the debt?
Acknowledgement.
Oh, precisely. And your peers as readers are responding in record numbers, certainly. More than are flocking, let's say, to the recent book-length works of Rather and Jennings.
Well, we're not in competition here. Yeah. These are all labors of love. You know, Peter's last book was just basically, here's the last 100 years, hope you enjoy them. And Dan, I don't know what Dan was doing exactly, but I think The Greatest Generation was more than an idea. You know, it's almost, if you start to think of it in broader terms, it's almost a brand.
In the sense that it can be applied to a great number of projects?
Exactly. Exactly,
right. Mm-hmm. So this would explain what you're working on now?
Yeah. We basically used up all the memoir-type material.
The recollections of little moments of tragedy and bravery.
Uh-huh. But I felt that the Greatest Generation had more lessons to offer on all of the, you know, the big questions in life that readers have. Questions like, how can I improve my management skills? Or how can I take weight off and keep it off? So the first two follow-on books...
Follow-on books.
Management Secrets of the Greatest Generation and The Greatest Generation Diet. And I'll tell you, Ira, I've never had more admiration for these men and women who in all humility created the world we live in than when I was trying to think of what their management secrets or their diet would actually be like.
Actually be like.
That's right.
And without giving away the store, what would they be like?
Well, you have to remember, we're talking about people who were the children of the Depression.
Yeah, good point. And?
Well, just that you have to remember that. You know, for starters.
Right. So...
Well... That's really as far as I want to go. And
I understood. Mrs. Jennings and Rather might be listening.
No, really, Ira, we only compete on the air. And Dan, not even really there anymore.
Looking ahead, Tom, what else might the Greatest Generation have on its mind?
Well, we're compiling the 100 Greatest Travel Destinations of the Greatest Generation. That'll be a beautiful book, lavishly illustrated, probably Christmas year after next.
Mm-hmm.
And since most of the books in this series are bought by the members of the Greatest Generation themselves, some for them to give as gifts to their kids, you know, something to read about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
An associate of mine, a young man who was an intern at NBC, is working on the first draft of The Greatest Generation Learns Computing, which would be a step-by-step guide lavishly illustrated with some wonderful photographs of these amazing veterans of World War II sitting at little tables and learning to use, 2000 or the like.
Or the like, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, Tom, I know our audience is looking forward to all of these projects, and who knows, one day maybe a chicken soup for the Greatest Generation.
It's unlikely, Ira. I don't want to cheapen the thing.
Well, thank you for the visit.
My pleasure, and the Greatest Generation sends their best.
Oh, thank them. Support for Book Bag comes from the Pagination Foundation. Page numbers make the difference. Next time, more questions and answers about life between the covers. Until then, I'm Ira Zipkin, climbing out of the Book Bag. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the news business is changing very rapidly indeed, of course. As we noted a week or two back, everybody's standing up now, among other things. Connie Chung got the big get of the summer, the interview with Gary Condit, nosing out, you should pardon the expression, her colleagues at ABC, Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters. And Dan Rather, who was widely rumored to be on the fast track for the Gary Condit interview until his boss at 60 Minutes 2, Don Hewitt said, well, if we do get the interview, the one guy we won't have do it is Dan, because people would think that there was a payoff involved, that Dan went soft, that Dan soft-pedaled the coverage of the Chandra Levy-Gary Condit story in return for the interview. So that didn't happen. But there were, aside from being bested by her less prominent colleague, Miss Chung, there were other rumors about Barbara Walters being unhappy at ABC, about maybe wanting to leave, about maybe being wooed to go across, as they say, the street.
So,
good evening. Welcome to 145 Taste. Chinese beer or American beer?
The Chinese is Tsingtao.
Chinese beer, yes.
All right, sir. Thank you. I'll have one of those.
And?
Do you have any water?
Sure, in kitchen we got plenty of water. You want some?
No, that's fine. I'll just have nothing.
Okay, we need a table soon.
You don't really come here to eat, do you, Dan?
Miss Barbara, if you'd like dim sum, this is Mecca. This is Rome. This is Constantinople. This is someplace good in China. And as a bonus, it's hard enough to find.
Oh, tell me about it. My driver has a migraine.
That we can talk in relative privacy here. Thank you for inviting me, by the way.
Well, thank you for coming. You know, it's not every day that a Dan Rather has a dim sum dinner with me.
Well.
You know, Dan, we really do have a surprising amount in common.
Mm.
Just for starters, we both loathe Connie Chung.
Listen here, Miss Barbara. You and I have more in common than twin gators in a storm drain, but I don't hate Sister Chung. I just wouldn't, as they say down in West Texas, I wouldn't waste a good heifer on her.
Do they really say that? And what could that possibly mean?
Well, sir.
Here you go, Chinese beer, and for your empty glass.
Thank you.
Well, here's bees in your barn. So, the men with the mouse ears and the long knives have finally come after you.
It's true. Mm. You must know this, Dan. You sit in your little protected enclave for what seems like forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, one fine day, the barbarians have arrived at the front door and...
And you bring yourself up short with this reality check. You'd stopped even locking it.
No, you've locked it, but they come in anyway.
Oh, they just bully their way in like... Fire ants at a funeral, like prairie dogs
at whatever. I think we're getting trapped in my own metaphor. My point was...
Now, no, please. Your point was simply that you don't realize you've lost your umbrella until it starts raining cow poop.
All right, yes, fine. Mm. So I saw your interview on Fox.
Well, now, please, Miss Barbara, look, before you leap to any conclusions, let me just make this cattle auction clear and mark it well. I had to go on Fox. My publisher made me do it, so...
No, Dan, that's fine. I've promoted books everybody in the anchor game has.
Well,
No, I'm not judging you.
No, but, well, you know, it wasn't without some misgivings that I went along with all this. I mean, mm-hmm. that's enemy territory every bit as much as downtown Baghdad. You venture in there without some conditions laid down about the parameters of the interview mm-hmm. in front. And before a fruit fly can have an amorous thought, you got your head handed to you, smothered in hot sauce. You want to order?
I'm not too terribly hungry, ever.
All right, let me just order up some dim sum for the table. You can have a little of... Sir, excuse me?
Yes, what's up, problem? You don't like a beer?
No, I just wanted to order some food.
Oh, good. You decide we shouldn't have to pay $2,000 a day rent just so you have a place to drink beer? That's good. What would you like?
Two of the number threes.
Say number two.
No, sir, two number threes.
That's what I say. You order, you let me write down my way.
Yes, sir. One number seven.
One number seven.
And four of the number 12s.
Four number 12.
Wait a minute. How come...
You want food? I gotta put your order in before kitchen takes break.
This is why I never eat south of 65th Street. This and the roaches.
Oh, don't mind him. He's just a victim of Chinese waiter syndrome. So, the way I see it, where we're at, is that you're at the head-scratching phase about if what I said on Fox was my own personal opinion or if in some way I was sending a message to Garcia on behalf of my fearless leader, Comrade Mel.
Then, if ABC doesn't want my brand of journalism, obviously I need to find some place that does.
Mm-hmm. Outside of daytime.
Yes, outside of daytime. What?
No, I just...
Dan, daytime is for casual conversation with celebrities. Prime time is when I can do in-depth profiles of celebrities.
I hear the money's not as good in daytime.
It's much better.
Really?
But this isn't about money. It's about journalistic integrity and money.
No, listen here, Miss Barbara. You know, when Brother Mel asked me about all this, mm-hmm. I reminded him that even Ed Murrow used to do celebrity interviews.
Great. And what did he say?
He asked me who Ed Murrow was.
Well, he's a younger man.
Look, Miss Barbara, nobody's past year is totally green these days. Mm. We had our layoffs, you're having yours. Mm-hmm. CNN is slicing off everything north of the cojones.
So maybe I should just stay at ABC and let them pay me for not being on the air. You know, Hugh Downs always said that was the best revenge.
Well, now, all right, let's get tick close to the point here. I've been authorized to say that I've been told that you could not expect us to remount 2020 for you.
Oh, no, of course not. But
we do have a franchise in our house, 60 Minutes, that might spawn another edition that could focus on your brand of journalism. Call it 60-60. Put it on Friday at 10. And watch the mouse sweat.
So, Daniel.
Yes, ma'am.
It sounds like we have something to talk about.
All right, then.
Waiter. Yes, sir. You want to order? Kitchen about to close.
Yeah, I could swear on a stack of world almanacs that
It's okay, Daniel. I'm not hungry. Mm. Not for food.
Hey. You want another beer, laughing man?
No, sir. Just the check. Thank you.
I could care less, believe me. You know what I mean. I could care less, forget it. Give me a break. Who knew? Let me tell you, go figure. Whatever works, have a nice day. Chill out, not to worry, no problemo. So why get bent out of shape like, hey, no way. Yo, lighten up, let's face it. Like I give a hoot. Straight ahead, take it easy, be cool. Continued success. Like brutal. Like blunt. Like really, totally upfront. The bottom line is, So why get bent out of shape? Like, hey, no way. You're lighting up, let's face it. Like I give a hoot. Straight ahead, take it easy. Be cool, continued success. Like brutal, like blunt, like really, totally upfront. The bottom line is, I could care less. No sweat, no strain, no pain, no gain, and the bottom line is, no matter what your sign is, the bottom line is, I could care less. The bottom line is, I could care less. I could care less.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't guarantee that that was the best so far this year, but it was some of this year, and I can guarantee that. And I can also stand rock solid on the premise that this program will return next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, over the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network on your WBCQ the Planet 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.kcrw.com. Can you tell that I'm in a hurry? And www.harryshearer.com. And it'll be just like having the rest of the year to compensate if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Send your attachments somewhere else, won't you? Thank you. Back next week with a show so fresh it scares the cows. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, the satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.